Probably we've come to the point now where at least once a day, for me, I'm saying the word eclipse. I'm saying the word August. As it approaches, you know, the people, I think the furious nature of the planning, I think, catches people's attention.
It's definitely picked up, and it's all that I'm dealing with every day, it seems like, these days, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know you're the epicenter there, and I really do appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule to join us. I was a little surprised you were here. I thought you'd be in Chile, seeing the Ring of Fire.
I would have loved to have been there. I have some friends there that sent back some great images from it yesterday. It was gorgeous, so a little bit of a preview for people.
Tell them that, now here's the thing, this is a teaching opportunity. There's a difference in what happened in Chile yesterday and what's going to happen here August 21st. Why don't you tell us what the difference is, Bob?
The one in Chile is an annular eclipse, and that's a type of a partial eclipse where you still have to have glasses to watch that one all through all of its phases. They sometimes call it a ring of fire because at the maximum point of eclipse in Chile, it just looks like a little ring of fire is what's out around the edge of the moon. But again, you have to have glasses on to see that.
It's the proximity of the moon is the difference. The dimension of the moon, as it's farther away, does not cover as much of the sun.
Right. It has to do with that distance that the moon is from us. It's kind of like if you hold your thumb up and try to block out a light. You can think of the moon like that. It doesn't always block out the sun perfectly.
Does that help us categorize the rarity of what's happening in August in Carbondale when you see this? That's another teaching saying, look, this is because it's an eclipse, and it is total. It's not like it goes over the bottom third or the top third of the sun. It covers it completely, and the circle is complete, but the position of the moon makes it so that you, as I said, have to have one of the safety glasses like you have with you. Starting to see more and more of those. I think the Visit SI, I think in their... You see the package they sent out for tourism?
I haven't seen it yet.
I've got it on my desk. If I get a chance, I want to show it to you.
Sure.
10,000 of the safety glasses sent out all across the country from Visit SI. Really good piece of work, too.
Wonderful.
But this, once again, teaches you. I mean, how do you categorize for people the level of rarity? There's two areas I want to talk about, Bob. The first initial, August 21, and then the one 7 years later where we cross again the same place. I mean, how rare is this?
Oh, having that intersection over us, so we're going to see two total solar eclipses over southern Illinois in 7 years. I don't even know the odds of it. Astronomical is what people have said. The last time we had one in Illinois, a total, it was in the mid-1800s. I'd have to look up the date. I think it was around 1869, 1879, somewhere in there. So it's been a really long time.
Nobody's still alive.
Yeah.
And the last one, all I can remember is listening to Camel X, laying in the back seat of my car while mother and father drove, and hearing about there was an eclipse going on and me trying to look out the back windscreen at the sun with my bare eyes to look at it.
Was that, which one was that?
All I remember is better in St. Louis than it was here.
Okay, I saw.
No, so 70-something?
79, so I was in second grade.
Well, I wasn't 79 because I was not 19 and laying in the back of my mom's head. Well, I probably was, but they weren't in the front seat. So around 70-something.
Yeah.
There was a partial.
I remember the one in 79 just because it was a total actually out on the upper northwest of the United States, and that was the last one in the continental United States, was 79, but it just went over a few states, and the rest of the country saw a partial,
and that's where I made my first box, simple box. Matter of fact, I was on the air, went out, did the box thing, you know, which is just a small pinhole projecting down on a piece of paper inside the box where you create shade inside that box, and it's a very basically a really basic camera of sorts. One of the items that I feel is going to be important as time goes forward, I very often wonder whether people are deep enough in the funnel to understand the safety issues that we're dealing with. You know, I know you and I are smart enough, and a great many of our peers are smart enough not to look in the sun. I find very often when I spend time dwelling on this subject, I do think about the kids.
Yeah, and, you know, I just did a Boy Scout, a STEM University Boy Scout event over the weekend, and I was talking to scouts about when it's safe to look at the sun, and I found myself referring back and saying, you know what, this is really an event that you're going to have to be with your parents on for these kids, because they were too young to understand the difference between the partial and the total phase.
Right.
And not having seen it before, I'd say most people are not going to quite understand it until they've seen it. until they see it in person. And so I've been suggesting to a lot of people, go to an event where there's someone there who's seen it before, who can tell you when it's safe to look and when you need to have the glasses on, when you can take the glasses off.
You know what I found is a very effective teaching tool? A campfire, a basketball, and a golf ball. To go out at night with whoever you're trying to educate, to hold that basketball up. This is the earth. Golf ball's the moon. Mm-hmm. And then notice this shadow when I walk the ball in front of the earth between me and the sun, the sun being the fire. That seems to be a pretty effective teaching tool, and it's three-dimensional. It gives you a sense of perspective. At least it's worked for me when I'm working with some young people. So
no, that's really good. We do something similar with a globe and a ping pong ball. And what's cool about that and the basketball, you can actually...
You got the map on it.
Yeah, well, and you can see that shadow elongate. So the golf ball shadow, it elongates as it gets towards the edge of the basketball or the edge of the earth, and it shows you how the shape of that eclipse shadow changes as it goes across the earth.
Right. And, of course, now, another question that I have very often is the people are asking me, how long is this? And, see, there's no precise answer to that. I mean, there is for the totality, mm-hmm. but when you talk about the event itself, I'm thinking of this as really a 6-hour event. First three exciting, 3 minutes, and then it's going to be over and nothing's going to be as satisfying as the first part. Oversimplification?
Not really. I'd say it's hard to define because it depends on where you're at.
All right. So let's put ourselves in Carbondale. Mm-hmm. All right. The epicenter, we'll call it ground zero for the apocalypse, the eclipse. You know, I'm only waiting for that part to start. It's the end of the world eclipse. You know that's going to happen, too. It's only a matter of time. Donald Trump won the presidency. The Cubs won the World Series. And there's a total eclipse of the sun. We're all going to die. The horsemen of the apocalypse are slapping leather. All right? It's a natural phenomenon. It's been going on for a long time. And it's, quite frankly, an incredible illustration of the symmetry inherent in nature and the universe. And nothing more.
So, yeah, in Carbondale, we start with the partial phase at 11:52. And NASA's done this great thing. They've printed up an eclipse safety sheet for us that has some of the times for, I'd say, the major cities. But Carbondale's on it as well. So the major cities in the eclipse path.
11:52 is when we start in what phase?
That is first contact. And that's when the moon first starts to go in front of the sun. So you look up. If you have your eclipse glasses on at the time, you look up at the sun, you'll just start to see the moon going in front of it right at 11:52. And that goes on for quite some time until 1:20. So at about 1:20 p.m., I think in Carbondale it's 1:20:08.
I kept thinking it was 1:21, but I'm going with you because you're the guy.
It depends. You know, it varies by seconds, whether you're on the west side of Carbondale or the east side of Carbondale. That's why we only print in the literature 1:20, because what you'll notice then is that the partial phases are going to finish, and the start of totality is that diamond ring. And so I know in our stadium it should be...
You call it a diamond ring, Bob. That's the first I've heard you use that phrase.
Well, the diamond ring phase is when the very last little bit of sun is going around the moon, and it looks like a diamond with a ring because the corona forms a ring. So that phase
I've seen this depicted in photographs and drawings, that flash.
Yeah, it's about 3 seconds. And it just... After that's over, that's when totality starts. So that's the best time to tell people, after the diamond ring, you can take off your glasses.
Okay.
And you can watch totality. In totality, it's going to be dark. So like think 20 minutes after sunset dark, and then the corona is what you're seeing then. And it's about as bright as a full moon, but it's this halo around the moon. And so that goes on for 2 minutes and 38 seconds roughly in Carbondale. And then you get another diamond ring. When you see that second diamond ring, that's the key that you need your glasses on if you're going to be looking at the sun after that.
Okay. In Carbondale, 1:20:08, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 p.m., 20 minutes after, 3 seconds after. Flash, 3 minutes, 28, 38 seconds, 38 safe. You go south of Carbondale, just a couple of clicks, you get closer to 3 minutes, my understanding, in some graphs I've seen.
Yeah, you get close to three. The maximum's 2 minutes, 40 seconds, roughly.
Is it 2:40? I thought it was 2:51. This is another problem that I'm having. I go into different sources and finding different numbers.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I find different sources, different numbers for the same location. I find that distressing.
Well, NASA's conservative on their numbers, so they go 240, whereas there's another site that will go all the way out to, I think, 241.6 is the absolute maximum lunar limb corrected.
All right. So the reason why we're doing this with the times here is the people of Southern Illinois are going to have to become increasingly familiar with these items, these terminologies. I think it requires us all to develop some level of expertise. And the reason why I say that is the people who come here may be a little bit behind in the learning curve and be asking us the questions. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, it's my house. We're guest hosts. I feel it's important that we have this opportunity, and we represent it properly by ourselves. So when somebody asks you these questions, if you don't know them, you do know where to get the answer. That's the important part, I think. I just don't know what to expect, Bob, when it comes to the numbers of people. What more have you learned on the prospects? It's not just about hotel rooms. You and I both know there's going to be day trippers, campers, and last-minute procrastinators who learn about this and go, I've got to go see this.
Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see that. So initially with the school groups planning on coming to SIU Carbondale, I think we have about half of our school group tickets committed so far. We've opened up about 4,000 tickets discounted to school groups. About half of them are spoken for. And the largest group so far, I think it's a little over 200 students coming from the Chicago area doing that day trip that you just mentioned. They're driving down early morning before the eclipse, seeing the eclipse, and then their bus will take them back to Chicago at the end of the day. And a lot of people can do that. They don't have to get a hotel room here.
Right, troop in, troop out. Mm-hmm. Kind of do it like comparing it to the exploration of the North and South Pole. The elite team makes the run in, takes the measurement, and starts getting the hell out back to the last cache. I think we'll get out of the crowd and mm-hmm. for a tank of gas, and we'll move in, bag lunch, get the heck out, and then those that come. Well, I mean, you got a week long celebration here. You got a Ozzy Osbourne here. You've got a music festival here. Yeah. You've got the last week announcing that the student center is going to be allowing indoor camping. The parks are going to be opening to camping as well. You'll have people who will do their own measurements and be experts and go find someplace mm-hmm. along a road, a park south of Carbondale to get the maximum. To be honest with you, I worry about traffic a little bit.
Yeah, traffic's a big issue. We have a safety and security committee on campus that's been working on that. We've also worked with the Federal Highway Administration. They put out a document to all of the departments of transportation across the United States, basically letting them know this is coming. They put out some information. The main concern there is they don't want thousands of people deciding they're just going to pull off the side of the road, or worse yet, stop right in the middle of the road. They see something spectacular and they just stop. We can't control all that, but we have to do as much planning as we can in advance.
If you're a teacher, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're somebody who's responsible for taking care of small children at a daycare center the day this is going on, if you are at a church group and you get a chance to expose this is a universal thing that I'm concerned about, because I do remember after the last eclipse we had here in the United States of the stories of people who suffered irreparable vision damage. Now, when you reference this, 1979, there was another one early, late 70s somewhere. And I remember the reports of people having vision damage. Now, we've all at some point in our learning curve as young people, same way that we learn about stove hot burn, we learn about don't look at the sun. But with these changes and the allure and the glamour of this, and then some people's lack of education, they're just going to maybe get a little antsy. Mm-hmm. Where is a good clearinghouse for information on education, safety, and standards for kids?
Well, the best one, and its parents should go and check it out, is eclipse2017.nasa.gov. And they actually have a safety document that people can download, and it's especially important for those groups that you just named that might be hosting their own event, or they just want to show the eclipse to their own kids. They can download information there on how to do it, and it's got the timing. It tells you when it's safe to look at the sun, during totality. And I should rephrase that. It's never safe to look directly at the sun. The only time that we can, what we're doing actually is we're looking at the sun's corona or the atmosphere of the sun during a total eclipse. And they describe how to know when that's safe. There's timing. I tell people to look up these times in advance, write them down.
For your location.
For your exact location, yes. And, you know, it can vary by a few miles or so, but you definitely cannot use times from, like, Oregon for Carbondale. They'll be off nearly an hour, actually.
Right. So, and this is important because we are talking really thin margins here. This is an incredibly unique dance when it comes to the universe, so, and our solar system more specifically. Bob, look forward to speaking to you a great deal more about it. I noticed, and I think I posted this on your timeline, I found a long-range forecast for a forecasted cloud cover day of.
Mm-hmm.
Looked good, didn't it?
Yeah, they're looking at climate predictions, and it has looked good. Actually, the last 2 years for us, you know, I say knock on wood, the last 2 years have been great. I was able to go out and get pictures of our potential venues on August 21st of 2015, 2016. And for people who are wondering where's the sun going to be this year, coming up in April, around that week of April 21st, they can go out. The sun's in approximately the same location in the sky around 1:20 in the afternoon on April 21st as it will be August 21st.
See, now this is interesting because you think, well, I don't have to worry about that. I'll just watch from my property. Maybe not. Not if the sun is not in the right position. It'll be behind that tree, which you, if you go out there today, go, well, no problem. I can see it. That's because there's no leaves. There will be in August. Where the sun is at during this time period and where you plan to view it, maybe, well, I can see the sun from here. It all depends. I've been down Pope County, mm-hmm. at one of my Deer Ridge, one of my favorite campgrounds, closed now. You see little sections of the sun. You can't go down there and expect, unless, of course, you're going to hop in the boat and go out on the lake.
Yeah.
You're not going to see it. Sun's in the wrong position. This is very important. And when Bob says something, I listen. And where the sun is going to be on that given day, so you can see this, from 11 until 2, safe, Bob? That's the way I'm counting my days. 11 to 2, 11 to 1, 11 to 2, really.
Yeah, it shifted a little later. Just before noon until... In Carbondale, we're looking at 11:52 to 2:47.
All right. So keep in mind, where the sun is during that time is going to be very, oh, come on over to my house, and you can't see it. That's going to be horribly embarrassing for you all. Hey, Bob, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Tom. Thank you.
Safety is one of the issues that we need to be thinking about. And before you go, this is important because I learned something important from Bob. For the years, I'm a photography nut and an astronomy nut and several other kinds of crazy. I have rigged up telescopes, boxes, viewers, but one of the items that the last time we had one of these eclipses was the talk about, you can go get your dad's welding helmet and use it. There's a standard for this. The glass is?
The glass is number 14. So you
14
can,
or higher.
Or higher. You cannot use these new MIG welding helmets or the ones that have auto darkening. So we're talking about old welder's glass and really... The eclipse glasses, they're so cheap these days, and we'll be giving away tons of these throughout the area. So that's why I point people towards the eclipse glasses.
There's numerous different ways to be able to enjoy this prior to by using some devices, telescopes. Matter of fact, this plastic piece of cheap plastic you've given me and how to use that as a viewer, you got to show me how to do that, buddy.
Oh, the solar funnel?
That's the one.
Yeah, it has to attach to a telescope, and that's actually, they mentioned that on the NASA safety sheet. It's for amateur astronomers. I would not recommend this to people who have not used telescopes before. But what it does is it does projection on a film that's put across this piece, this funnel. The funnel goes over the eyepiece, so you're doing what's called eyepiece projection. It's a high-resolution image of the eclipse.
And the reason why high resolution is because in this form of showing, you can actually see if there's a corona eject out, you can see it loop out and come back in, depending on how well your vision is. But you more than likely will see a hairy circle.
Well, you'll see sunspots. Seeing those the mass coronal ejections and the prominences, you probably aren't going to see that
right.
with this.
If you upped your magnification, you could, though.
During totality, you'll see some of that.
Right.
Yes. For the partial phases, though, no. Which is what the sun funnel's meant mostly for, you won't see it.
Good. I'm glad they learned that. We've got to talk more about this because more people are going to want to learn how to get the best shot. And then you and I are probably going to have to do some amateur photography lessons, too.
I've got another workshop coming up on campus eventually. We'll announce the date later.
All right. Hey, Bob, it's always, man, it's great to see you, man.
Thank you, Tom.
You're going to be really busy.